It's time. Time for the kickoff show.
What a win for the 49ers!
It's Sunday, and we're locked in on the red and gold.
What a run by George Kittle!
Oh, what is going on, everyone? Live from the Hilton Santa Clara here just outside of Levi's Stadium, getting set for week 5 between the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. Evan Giddings alongside Lorenzo Neal with you. Brought to you as always by Habis Law. Call 1-800-HABIS. Get it right. Habis Law will fight to make it right. Lorenzo, first and foremost, glad to have you back, brother.
Hey, it's good to be back. Was down there checking it all out and watching the game last week, and it was a huge win for the Niners. They need a much needed win. But man, it's exciting. I mean, you're coming back to San Francisco and here in San Jose and looking at Levi's and watching the fans start to come in, and you just feel, hey, this team understands and the fans understand. It's just not, it's not a big party atmosphere. It's just kind of like sobering. Like, hey, we're not where we need to be. We're not where we're supposed to be, but we're here. We're going to try to get this thing, keep the wheels on the tracks and try to ride the ship. So that's kind of just a different kind of feel today.
Well, I was going to say, it's supposed to be a hot one. It's supposed to be the hottest game in the history of Levi's Stadium.
Wow.
It's supposed to get up to about 100 degrees by kick. So if you're coming on by, stop by Hilton Santa Clara, grab a drink, get refreshed, get hydrated before you head in for the Niners to take on the Cardinals. And it's an interesting place, Lo, because the Niners here in week 5 are 2-2. The Cardinals are 1-3. But the Cardinals have a couple losses to a Seattle team, to a Buffalo group that's pretty good. The Niners' losses, of course, would come to the Los Angeles Rams and the Minnesota Vikings, who are now 5-0. They're in interesting places, but division matchups are always interesting as well. I think the Niners, to me, they're in an interesting place because they're about a quarter of the way done with their season. If we are to evaluate them, they certainly have not played their best football yet, but there just seems to be something a little off about this team right now that I'm hoping they can correct against the Cardinals group, that no matter how good they've been, for whatever reason, they've seemed to give the Niners fits in the past.
Oh, no question. Cardinals just match up. Styles make fights. We talked about that. We talk about great boxing matches. Ali, Frazier, you know, the rumbling. Those fights were always classic when you had the rematches, Gotti and Turo Gotti, and watching those fights, or the back-to-back fights, and it always looked for a dogfight. And that's what with the Cardinals. The Cardinals, Seattle, they always, it's always interesting just watching the Niners when they play. And you look at, you saw the Rams here several weeks ago. We go back and you kind of recapping what you're talking about. You had a Rams team that was pretty much decimated. Yeah, the Niners had an injury. You had Debo, and you don't have some of your guys, but you went down there and pretty much in a home game. The stadium was full of red. The Niners faithful, they traveled well. And you played a Rams team that was decimated on offensive line down to the third and fourth string. Mag shift offensive line. And you got beat up. You got pushed around. You didn't win that game. And you're like, whoa, what's going on here? And you say, okay, we got to bounce back. You're able to bounce back. So when I look at this team, and I look at a team at 2-2, and looking at how they played this year, yes, I thought they played well against the Jets. Besides the Jets, I don't think this team has played close to what they can play to and what we expectations are. It's like a fighter watching a Mike Tyson or Muhammad Ali when they in their heyday, when they would throw that right hand, like you and I talked about, knock guys out. They would just, boom, one hit, Mike Tyson. Knock. Then later on in their career, they're still throwing the right, but it's not having the effects that it had. That's what this Niner team feels like. They don't have the effect that it usually has. When they usually land a two-piece, they're up by 14, and you can shut the door because then it's a sea of red, and they're coming to get you. But it's just right now, this Niner team, to me, in my personal opinion, something's a little off. They're still fighting. They're still throwing the right. It's just not having that knockout effect. So with that, I'm going to give this team a C.
Well, and I think a C grade is appropriate. Number one, because they haven't looked their best. Number two, they've been bitten by injuries. They're not whole yet. And so a C from the standpoint of their play and their productivity, but also just how they look right now, how they've been playing, how they've been performing. And it looks like they are going to have somewhat of a full complement of characters this week. Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Fred Warner, who got hurt last week, didn't finish the half against the second half against the Patriots, is likely going to be active today. And we'll get you updated with all the actives and inactives as they roll out up until 1 o'clock kickoff between the Niners and the Cardinals. But last week, it was funny. You know, you talk about the Patriots being a get-right game. No. I thought the Rams was a get-right game.
So do I.
The Patriots was a you-better-get-it game.
Yeah.
And they did, to their credit. But to your similar point, talking about going up 14, that knockout blow not necessarily being there. They're able to knock out the Patriots, but the Patriots were a team that came into the ring with wobbly legs.
Right.
They came in basically looking to get knocked down, and the Niners did so. So if you're looking at that game last week, to me, it was impressive that Brock Purdy was able to air the ball out. It was impressive that they can get back to the ground game offensively. It was impressive that they had six sacks. But now, can they build? Can they stack on that performance? Because so far, they've been a roller coaster ride where they look great against the Jets.
Yep.
Blew it against the Rams, obviously. The Vikings, not so great. And then last week, who are the 49ers right now? We're still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, no question, Evan. It's the inconsistency of it. It's sort of like, you know, when a champ gets beat in a fight, they usually have a tune-up fight. They say, okay, let's get that tune-up fight so I can get myself right, and it's that get-right game. And you know what? I got beat by the Rams. You said, okay, that was supposed to be a tune-up fight to get them right to go, and because they lost, you know, to a good team, Minnesota. Minnesota's still undefeated, so you lose to Minnesota, and you say, okay, as a defending champ, let's just give them a tune-up game. Let's give them a tune-up fight just to get their skills back together, and let's throw the Rams out there. Well, the Rams turned that into a dogfight and turned into a fight and end up winning on all the scorecards and end up not knocking the Niners out, but just beat them in a fight, in a slugfest. So, hey, okay, so, bam, you have another fight. You go play against, you know, a team that you talk about, New England, that's already was wobbly. And New England was still able to move the ball and do some effective things on the Niners. Go look and watch the way they ran the ball. Watch the way they were moving the ball. There's a couple plays that, you know, the Niners needed to make, and you granted, they made them. But it wasn't like that's the part that that baffles me. The inconsistency against the run. They have not really shut down the run with consistency besides the first game against the Jets. Besides that, you go look at how teams have been having success running the ball, creating a new line of scrimmage. Hargraves is out. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this team has to be more sound, technique sound, getting there in the gaps, doing the things you need to do to kind of just to put fans and put yourself, because you can't be happy with the way you're playing defense. You can't be happy because even though you played a Rams and you said you were injured, okay, you had Kittle and Deebo, but you had a receiver in Jennings that did what Deebo would have done. It probably, I mean, for that game, maybe more.
Yeah.
So, and you still were able to score 20-some points and you still didn't win that ball game. So, I don't think it's time for alarm, and nor is it time to panic. But it is time to find out and say, what is going on? Because we ran, you know, the defense coordinator last year and said it was a D coordinator. Mm-hmm. What's the excuse now? Because your defense has got to get off the sty. They got to play better. They got to get more consistent. Fred Warner's been carrying that defense. You know, you got to have more solid play out of your defense. And hopefully you get to see it today.
Well, that's what I find fascinating about this iteration of the 49ers is that the side of the ball that's been the most impressive is not the side of the ball that's been the most healthy. Now, I know the defense is missing Greenlaw. Now, Hargrave is out for the season. You had Hufanga come back in week three. So they were missing a couple of pieces. But overall, this defense is close to as consistent or close to returning the full group from last season. The big difference was the coordinator, who was supposed to be, quote-unquote, the problem. The defense has been the most inconsistent side of the ball, along with, and you talk about this all the time, Lo, special teams.
Yeah.
There has been, even in the Patriots game, there has been something each and every week that has hurt the 49ers in special teams, whether it's, you know, the missed go-ahead kick against the Rams, a punt block against Minnesota, a fumble coming out of halftime against New England. There have been critical errors in special teams, and while they haven't hurt the Niners in every game, I'm looking at defense, I'm looking at special teams, and they have not been as buttoned up as they were a year ago.
No, by no stretch of imagination, and with that being said, Evan, you're not good enough to play bad on those teams and think you're going to win ball games, especially win ball games consistently. Because, newsflash, the league is different, and the league has changed. There's a lot of different faces on a lot of different teams, a la Minnesota Vikings, Sam Darnold, who was here last year, that was on your team. Now he's competing against you, and he beat you. So you can't look at this and say, oh, the Niners are getting to the Super Bowl. That's what everyone wants to do, and that's what they want to crown them. You want to crown them? Crown them. But what we've seen thus far this year, you cannot sit here and say that the Niners are the cream of the crop in the NFC. If you do it, you're lying. If you say they are, then you're lying, and you're mistaken, and you're fooling yourself. Do I believe this team has the potential and the players to be a dominant team? Yes, because they do. But for some reason, it's not translating on the field. They're taking turns, making mistakes, especially when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. I say it all the time. Offense counts as a third. Defense counts as a third. And special teams counts as a third. And right now, you look at the offense, it's cooking. It's making some plays. But at times, let's make it. Brock Purdy, he has taken over games with his legs and kept third downs. He has been a huge factor for this team, especially when they're talking about on third down and three or four, when nothing's there, him pulling the ball down and taking off, picking up seven or eight to keep the chains going, which ends up turning to a touchdown. So I just think that this team, they got to – and I guarantee you, Kyle Shanahan is saying that, we got to clean up some thing, guys. We got to clean up this thing.
Well, and that's why this is a big game. Not from the standpoint of, okay, it's going to end the season or make the season,
right.
Break the season.
Right.
But you want to stabilize the ship a little bit. You want to right this thing to the point where heading into a short week against a division foe in Seattle, you feel confident going into that game. Looking behind that, Kansas City, Dallas. If we're just looking at what the Niners can do between now and the bye week, which ideally is around the time, potentially, they could get a Christian McCaffrey back coming off bilateral Achilles tendonitis. That's when you start to think about, all right, this team can get to another level. But until then, you got to take care of business. And the Arizona Cardinals, although they're 1-3, they're not some shoddy team. This is
no,
team
they'll beat you.
If that has a Jekyll and Hyde
right.
effect, that if you catch Mr. Hyde on the wrong day, or if you catch Jekyll on the wrong day, they can walk into your house and beat you.
No question. And you're talking about a team that Arizona, 1-3, could have very well beat Buffalo Bills, beginning of the year. Double digit up by double digits, and they found a way to lose. They're looking at their schedule saying, we're 1-3. The Niners are what? 2-2?
Yep.
So is it that much of a disparity? How am I going to you think I'm going to be if a guy's – I got one win and the guy's got two wins and we both pretty much – I'm looking at it saying, dude, I can beat this dude. I'm getting ready. So Arizona's saying the same thing. They're looking at it and saying, hey, this isn't the same 49er team. Let's go in here and we punch this bully in the mouth. This isn't the Kansas City Chiefs, guys. There's no mistakes about it. Look at Kansas City. They struggled right now. Kansas City Chiefs could easily be 0-4, but they have that that MJ effect. That teams just okay. It's Michael Jordan. They pulls a win. What happens? The Chargers last week kick a field goal. They're up. A couple minutes left. They decided to go for it. You look the week before that. You know the Atlanta Falcons. Should have kicked the field goal, maybe go up, but they didn't. You know, the Ravens, catch that touchdown in the end zone, you go for two, you win the game. But you have to realize, though, the Kansas City Chiefs still find a way to win ball games because they are the champs. So, yes, people can say, oh, well, Kansas City's struggling. Well, yes, but Kansas City's still finding a way to win. The Niners struggle, but they haven't found a way to win, especially win against the good teams.
And I think that's the most important part of this is, although the Niners are not playing their best, neither are the Chiefs.
No.
And you know, we throw the Chiefs into this conversation because that's where the Niners expect to be. They have Super Bowl aspirations, and I don't want to dampen that. This is still a team that I believe can win a Super Bowl.
Right, right.
But they need to do things to get back onto that track because unlike a lot of other groups, whether they're undefeated like the Vikings or maybe they're not having the greatest kind of season or greatest start like the Cowboys – or a team that has Super Bowl aspirations but hasn't necessarily been able to start off on the right foot like the Bengals,
right.
who are 1-3 and currently playing the Ravens. The Niners have players.
Yep.
And so if you can find a way to get on the right side of 500 today, along with the fact that You have guys getting whole. You have guys coming together. You have guys getting healthy throughout an entire 17-week season. Now you feel a bit better about those Super Bowl aspirations. It's not gonna write itself in one day. But the Niners, to me, have not showed low enough consistency for us to yet compare them to a Kansas City Chiefs group. Both teams have not played their best, but the Chiefs are the team that's found a way to win, and the Niners are a team that has not.
You go look at the Chiefs. Baltimore Ravens, one of the best running teams in football. Would you agree?
100%.
Did they run the ball great against the Chiefs? No. You go look at the Chargers the last several weeks when they've been playing. First game, look at how Dobbins, look how they've been running the ball. Did they have that kind of success against the Chiefs?
They did not.
That's the thing. But you go look at the Niners, and yeah, the Chiefs have struggled. But you got one side of the ball doing what it needs to do to give its offense a chance to win ball games. That's not what's happening. The offense, if you look at the Chiefs' offense and you look at the Niners' offense, they're probably scoring about the same. But the difference part, and that's what I always say, offense entertains, but defense wins championships. When you look at Spags and what he's doing with that defense, in spite of Mahomes and those guys struggling, hadn't, you know, only five touchdowns since 2021 or 20, you know, one of the slowest starts that he's had, but they're 4-0. Because the defense has allowed them to get the ball back. The defense has given the Kansas City Chiefs more chances than the opponent, and they're staying ahead of the sticks on defense, and that's why one team's 4-0. And the Niners, who's trying to make it back, is 2-2. Because if you look at it, what I just explained and described to you, the Niners haven't been able to stop the run and allow teams to punt the ball back to this offense for them to get ahead by double digits, for them to get ahead and stay ahead and make teams one-dimensional. Teams stay two-dimensional against the Niners. And that's why they're in these ball games.
Well, and I think the Niners obviously have a ton of talent on defense.
Of course.
Their special teams, to me, has been lackluster because of lack of attention to detail. And that's where I also think the Niners, like, when you watch them play, you see all these all pros. Maybe not this year because a few of them have been hurt, but in recent years, you see the all pros, you see the Pro Bowlers. And I just think it took people's minds off of or eyes off of the fact that they were a very buttoned up, class personified, detail-oriented team. That has not been this group so far. And I think through the first 4 weeks, that's a result of rust. Not an excuse. Maybe it's a Super Bowl hangover. Maybe it's all the distractions from the offseason, not having certain guys in camp, not having guys in preseason, not having guys available due to injury. But I think that rust has shown that they are not as detail-oriented right now to begin this season as they were last year. Okay, now you have 4 weeks. Month is in the book. Put it behind you.
Right.
Now, essentially, is to me where the season truly starts for the Niners if they are to go on what we believe to be a Super Bowl run, because this part of the season is where you get the Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, then you get to your bye, then you try to get healthy. But the Niners, through the first four, it's almost as if they're putting the key in the ignition low, and they're turning it, and it's revving,
right.
It's revving, but it's not quite turning on yet. Today, I want to see them turn that key right, I want to hear that rev, and I want to see that car go.
Oh, yeah. To me, it's like, you put your car, you're at the top of the hill. The Niners, before this season, when you think about it, it's a team that's on the top of the hill, and Kansas City's just a little bit higher up, but the Niners in NFC, top of the hill. And you're getting ready to go downhill. When the season's getting ready to start downhill, and you want to go downhill. But the thing about it is, you're going downhill with flat tires. And if you're going downhill with flat tires, guess what? You're not going to get down that hill as fast as you can if you only have three tires that are full and the fourth one's deflated. You've got problems. Mm-hmm. If three of them are deflated, you got bad problems. So when you think about that, that's how I'm looking at it. This team was on the top, and it started downhill. You're like, man, this first four games with the Rams, with the Jets, and you think about who you play, and you know, looking at the teams that's on the schedule, and you look, you say, okay, you knew that a team New England you should handle. The Rams, with all the things that are going on, you knew you should handle. A team that should have been going downhill at 4-0, now you're getting ready to go uphill. But, you know, after this week, you're getting ready to go uphill, and you're going to have four tires on that are fixed now.
Yeah.
You got them. They're all filled. Your tire's been rotated. But guess who you got? You got Dallas Cowboys. You got the Kansas City Chiefs. So now your car is going to be fixed, but now you have a perfectly running tuned car, but now you're getting ready to go uphill, and you're going uphill next to some teams that are they're perfectly in perfect condition too. So that is the question that we got to see. How is this team going to perform today? Because today, to me, is that gut check. Meaning, if the Niners go out here and win 38-10, it wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. If they go out here and play down to Arizona and Arizona beats them, you're like, oh my goodness, that's what we thought. And you wouldn't be shocked if Arizona hung with them and it was a great game and it had to go down to the final win, you know, final seconds, and the Niners kicked the field goal, you'd be like, man, they played down. But what that will tell me is the clock, or whatever, however you want to say it, the attention to detail, the internal clock, the preparation hasn't turned on yet. Mm-hmm. Because that'll tell me you're not on there as the punt team, kickoff return team, special teams, that you're saying, look, who's not in their lane? Okay, let's get this thing, the attention to detail. Hey, offense, who's missing the block? What happened here? Defense, how do we not create a new line of scrimmage? Who left their gap control? Where's those small things? Let's fit these holes. Let's get these fits. And let's do all those things. If we see that today, then the Niners win by 20. If you don't see that today, then this team has not understood. Look, you can't just walk out and say, I'm the champ. I'm going downhill. I haven't rotated my tires in 5 years, and I just supposed to walk, run, go down this hill full speed. Them tires, if you haven't been rotated, that front end just starts to shake, and you're like, oh, it's going to rattle apart. You have to fix the things you have to fix for your car to run white. It goes to show you. You talked about it. This Niner team have so much talent. It's lacking talent. It's attention to details, those small things. So I want to see if they can get those things fixed before they start this uphill climb.
Well, and look, people are burning rubber coming into the parking lot right now. And
burn rubber on me!
If you want to slide by the Hilton Santa Clara, say what's up to Lorenzo, Neil, Evan Giddings, our guy Joe Hawks here on site. All brought to you by Habits Law. This is the kickoff show on 95.7 The Game. Please do. It's a great party. It's a great time. Bring the sunblock. Bring the water. Bring whatever libation you prefer. Have a good time. Pull up to the Hilton Santa Clara and enjoy a fantastic pregame setup before the Niners take on the Arizona Cardinals Week 5 here right outside of Levi's Stadium. You know, the thing you also talked about with regards to the Cardinals, it's almost like it's a reflection of last week, because it was really hard for me to judge their performance against the Patriots. I thought Brock Purdy looked great. I thought the defense looked much improved, and the defensive line specifically has had some issues. But if you can't do it this week against the Cardinals, and specifically winning the football game, last week doesn't mean anything to
me. No.
That win means nothing. But if they win this game, if the defensive line shows they've turned a corner, if they're able to find a way to bottle up a very dangerous Kyler Murray who can kill you with his arm and his legs, if you're able to continue to run the football against a Cardinals team that also has had its issues with stopping the run, well, then last week against the Patriots does indicate something to me, because they took care of business. They beat them by 17. They had they're 2-for-4 in the red zone. That's an area of this football team that might need to improve a little bit moving forward. But again, this week makes last week mean more.
Right.
And the Patriots game to me was something that was a little, well, I got to wait and see what you do against a divisional foe. Because the other part of this too, low is the fact that if you lose this game today, you are 0-2 to begin the NFC West. This is a divisional matchup. And these games, while they can kind of get a little bit wonky, they mean more.
Yeah, they do.
And you do not want to fall behind 2-0 in what is looking like a very competitive NFC West.
Oh, it's very competitive. And if you had to say, hey, I'm going to slot these teams in NFC West, and that's one thing about the difference is, and you're the same way, I don't play homer ball. I'm not going to go and say, hey, dog, this team, they're the best team in NFC West, or, you know, they're going to get it all fixed. No, I want to say that, but let's be real. The Seattle Seahawks are the best team in the NFC West right now. They're playing the best ball right now. Offensively, they can score. You saw with them in the Motor City against Detroit Lions. That game's still going. They have a chance to win. If neither defense could stop either.
That was a track meet.
But that was a track meet. But you look at Seattle. If you can't score 21 against Seattle, you're losing that game on the road. Let's be real. So we're not going to get into that. But I'm just saying right now, if you're looking, you would have to say it's Seattle. You would have to say the Rams found a way to beat you, so you can't say we're better than the Rams. You can't say it right now.
Yeah.
How can you say it when you lost to them? in their house, but with all Niner fans there, Dornier. So, if you're just looking, how do are they the third? Are they the fourth? Think about that. Is this Niner team right now, if you just said, I'm just going to rank the NFC West. I know you, E. You will say right now, Seattle, you have to give Seattle what they've done thus far. You got to say they're one.
Seattle has been the most impressive team in the NFC West. I think the Niners still can be a better
team. Of course. But I'm just saying, what have you seen? What have you seen? Can they be a better team? Yes. Do they got more talent? Yes. Have they been battle tested way more? Yes. But you can't tell me, Evan, that you still. And if you can, then let's have this conversation and let's get fired up and let's bring it. Because I can't say today, to right now, that the Niners are playing better ball than Seattle. I can't say it, and I won't do it. And you know what? I can't say they're playing better ball than the Rams because 2 weeks ago, the Rams kicked your butt with backup offensive linemen. So that brings us to today. That's why today is a huge barometer to see what's going on, and that's why they need to play big against this Arizona team.
No. I'm with you. Sorry, one sec. I just got to check the timer.
Oh, yeah, my bad. No. I got a little fired up. It's 11:26.
26. Appreciate you. This is the kickoff show. I want to continue that on the other side.
Yes.
And this is why. I want to take a break right now. We'll come back, get our thoughts together, and have this conversation. Who's playing the best of the NFC West? Who looks the best in the NFC? Because the San Francisco 49ers right now, I believe, have an opportunity to prove that they are still one of those teams that I believe them to be.
Well, Evan, can we take it to the callers, too, and they can get
Absolutely.
In? Can they chime in? Can they hit the text line
9559? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. If you want to hop on that text line, let us know what you're thinking about where the Niners are at after 4 weeks, beginning week five at 105 today at Levi's Stadium against the Cardinals. Please do. That's Lorenzo Neal. My name is Evan Giddings. We are live at the Hilton Santa Clara down here in Santa Clara.
Woo!
Brought to you by Habas Law. Call 1-800-HABAS-LAW. We'll fight to make it right. Also, check out HabasLaw.com for more information. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the kickoff show on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Lorenzo Neal alongside Evan Giddings with you here. This is the kickoff show presented by Habas Law, live from the Hilton Santa Clara right outside Levi's Stadium, week five between the 49ers hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Well, I love your passion, Lord. I want to pick up right where
we
left off. No.
I get a little fired up. Calm down. I get a little fired up at times because I'm so passionate about this game.
That's the whole point of this, though.
Okay,
we got to bring the love with the passion, with the emotion, man.
Okay, thank you, Evan. Thank you. Let's go, baby.
No, but it's a simple question. Who has been the best team in the NFC West through 4 weeks? Because the team currently atop the table is the Seattle Seahawks. The 49ers, in my opinion, can prove today with a win against the Cardinals. Now, I guess they got to beat Seattle next week on Thursday night. But to me, I'm still not ready to say yet that the Niners aren't the best team. It just maybe I'm sipping the 49er juice out here. Maybe I'm seeing too many McCaffrey jerseys walking around and I'm hoping he can come back in a few weeks. Maybe I'm seeing the Brock Purdy's the 13s rolling through the parking lot. Maybe I'm feeling the vibe of Levi's Stadium too much, low. Maybe I'm sipping a little Homer juice. But I do feel like the Niners, to me, even though they haven't played their best, I don't know. I'm still not willing to hand the mantle to the Seahawks.
I'm not trying to, by no stretch of imagination, trying to hand the mantle to the Seahawks. Evan, what I'm trying to do is temper expectations.
Mm.
I'm just going to, talk about a guy who even kids know, Mike Tyson. Everyone feared him. He was the most fierce man on the planet. And when he walked in the ring, you said, oh, this guy is going to kill you. He's going to knock you out. And he usually did that. Even after he lost fights, why was the odds still in his favor? Even after, because you had that vision of him. So even though he became a shell of himself, and I'm not saying that the Niners are a shell of themselves, but I am saying there's something off. I am saying, because we've seen what they did last year and the year before and how they've been right there knocking at the door, they went out and, you know, said, hey, let's got brought in Coleman, said, let's get better defensively. And you said, okay, let's bring in some different guys that's going to help our defense. Floyd, Leonard, you know, you brought in Floyd. You said, let's bring in other guys to make this team better up front. So you did those things. So you think, okay, this is Mike Tyson again. They're back. And now they throw that, you're like, ooh, that right hook. You watch them air box and you watch go through training camp. You watch them throw those punches. Ooh, that hit you. That's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Now when they go in a game, they throw that right that we're used to them throwing. And all of a sudden, teams are still able to, they shake it off. And, like, they ain't going down. They might wobble. And it's an 8 count. But, by golly, they're hitting you back. So, I'm just not going to say, you can say it and say, oh, the Niners are the best team because I'm still, because of what they've done, what previously they've done. But right now, you have to show me.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to sit here and say, oh, they're the best team in the NFC West right now, I think it's premature. We can't say that because the record doesn't show that, because Seattle's got a better record. You played the Rams 2 weeks ago. They found a way to beat you. Even though you played in L.A., you had more fans there than the Rams, and they still found a way to beat you. So when you're saying for you to just dismiss the Rams and dismiss Arizona, and I hope the Niners don't think like you're thinking, Steven, because if they dismiss Arizona, you get kicked in the face today and you lose this game, or you turn this into a street fight, and who wins this game? So because if you give Kyler Murray a chance and you let him stick around and he wears your defense out in the fourth quarter, he's running around and your defense is tired, that's a problem. That's why you have to go ahead and take care of these guys early and hit this team and knock them out. So when you're saying, yeah, I know Seattle's there. Yeah, they beat the Rams, but that really doesn't count because the Niners were injured. By golly, Steven. Now I'm calling you Steven. By golly, Evan. the Rams had injuries and more crucial injuries in crucial spots, and they still found a way to win. So let's be honest. So just if I had to go by peer record and by what I can say today, just what I can say today, and fans, call in and check the big fella. Check Lo'Neal if you think that I'm off. Today is to see who's the worst team in the NFC West.
That is
a hot take?
That is hot from Lo'Neal. So
tell me why. What have you – I'm just saying, for what we've seen thus far,
mm-hmm.
and what's been put out there, and what's in front of us, why do you differ from me?
So this is actually why I love football, because number one, we can have these conversations and it's all good moving forward, but also because the 49ers are look, they kicked the crap out of the Patriots last week. The Patriots damn near beat the Seattle Seahawks in overtime in New England. That was a game the Seahawks, if they are a team that I believe them to be better than the Niners, they should have taken care of business against them. In the same breath, I also feel like the Niners are a team that get waxed even further against Detroit last week, the way the Lions looked against Seattle.
Let me ask you a question. When's the last time the Niners won in Minnesota?
Oh, 1992.
Okay, so why are you saying because Seattle played in Minnesota? What happened when the Bengals went to Minnesota? I mean, went to New England? They lost. So all I'm saying, I get what you're saying, but sometimes the team at home, they play better. That's why it's called home field advantage. So I do understand but they found a way to win. Have the Niners found a way to win the games that they supposed to win? And in my opinion, and you know what, Steve, you know what, E, you could be right. In my opinion, Evan, they have not found a way to win the game they supposed to win, the Rams game, no matter what.
Yeah.
I just think they should have won that game.
No, I'm 100% with you. There's no excuses for losing that game, especially being up 14 in the second half of the way they were. Because it wasn't as if it was a rock fight from the start. Like, they came out, tried to step on their throat, and evidently didn't crush the jugular.
Right.
So that is a game in which they collapsed, in which they choked, in my opinion. So that's a damning loss. The thing about the Niners to me, and the biggest difference, I think, between Seattle and the Niners as they currently stand, is coaching. Mike McDonald has done a fantastic job so far in Seattle of getting a defense that has looked inept, that has looked unphysical, that has looked really, really just like a bottom feeder, especially in the trenches the last few years, even with as great of a coach as Pete Carroll is. They have not looked great defensively. He has gotten that group to buy in because I think their offense is largely unchanged. Yeah. They have a really talented set of running backs, one of the best wide receiving cores in football, and their offensive line is, you know, average behind Geno Smith. The Niners, meanwhile, for whatever reason, and I'll also throw Kyle Shanahan in here because this isn't just on Nick Sorensen. In my opinion, if you are the head of the snake, if you are the leader of this group, Kyle Shanahan, you got to be better. There has to be more accountability from this coaching staff, and I don't want to just throw everything in Nick Sorensen. I think a lot of people have, and we talked about it earlier, because everyone, including the head coach, wanted to point the finger at Steve Wilks last year.
Right.
Well, right now, come week five, I want to point the finger at the head coach because your group on special teams has been unbuttoned, your group on defense has been inconsistent, and your offense has been banged up, but you've been able to extract points out of many different iterations of wide receivers, of running backs, of even quarterbacks. So why hasn't it fit together yet?
That's a great question, and I'm telling you right now, I'm with you. And if Cal's driving in, listening to the show, I'm going to tell him it's on him. But it's not about him going to the players and jumping on the players and jumping and getting in their face. That's not the answer, because that's not the problem. The problem lies with the coaches, and I'm telling you. You talked about the talent. You talked about all the different weapons this team has. It's attention to detail. You talked about it earlier in the show, the fine night, doing the little things right. It's attention to detail. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Shanahan, as the leader of this team, he knows he can coach his butt off. You know this guy's scheme. He can scheme you up, and he's so creative. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's got to get his coaches to sound the alarm. He's got to get his coaches to get in there and start coaching these players and be in their face and rewind tape and say, that's not good enough. He's got to go back to the beginning and say, coaches, you're not doing your job, and guess what? I'm not doing mine because I'm not coaching you hard enough. I'm not holding you guys accountable because I know the talent that we have in this room, and out of the men that we have on this team, these men can win, and they've shown you they can win, and they can play against any team. The stage doesn't get too big for them. What is going on? What has happened to us? We're getting beat off the ball. We're not in depth gap control. We're missing field goals and extra points. We're freaking letting teams freaking drive the ball, run the ball. Why? Guys are out of position. Guys are arm tackling, out of position. We're giving up this. We're giving up that. Why? Because we're not attention to details. It's not that we're not talented enough. It's not that we don't have the players. But coaches, you're not doing your job. You're letting these players down, and you're letting them settle for mediocrity, and that's not what it's going to take to win a championship. We can't just turn on the lights and wave the magic wand, and we go out here and win. We have to fight. Teams are gunning for us. They don't care if we're the San Francisco 49ers. We have to be more buttoned up. Because if we're buttoned up, guess what? We're hard beat. If we're buttoned up, you're not going to beat us. I love our chances. But we're not buttoned up. You know that. And until they get buttoned up, they're going to continue to struggle. And they're going to be in these games that could be a lot more easier and a lot less challenging until they get buttoned up. So I don't care how much talent you got. Talent does mean nothing. If you can't get in the right position, you can't do the things you need to do.
And talent is good enough to beat a team like the New England Patriots. You know, talent should have been good enough to beat a team like the Los Angeles Rams. But talent is littered all over the NFL. There's a reason these guys are playing and making the kind of money that they do, no matter what team you're on. So today against the Arizona Cardinals, you're going up against franchise quarterback. You're going up against one of the most dynamic dual-threat quarterbacks in football. I understand that people might not like Kyler Murray because, I don't know, he plays too many video games. Or because he's more of a baseball player than he wanted to be. I don't know why people don't like Kyler Murray or people don't like Jonathan Gannon. Maybe because of his affiliation with the Philadelphia Eagles being there. One of their coordinators prior to, and the Niners fans don't necessarily respect him because of that. Well, they should. They need to, because this is a Cardinals team that, despite being 1-3, has taken both the Buffalo Bills as well as also the Detroit Lions, who might have been a hook and ladder away from losing that football game, to the wire. And the Lions, who have shown us they might be one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFC. The Buffalo Bills certainly have aspirations to challenge for the AFC crown. This is not a pushover Cardinals group, despite what the record might might tell you. And even the loss last week against Washington, where they got lit up, is now proven to not be a bad loss, because Washington appears to have action in the NFC this year, and they have a damn good quarterback. So Kyler Murray, along with the rest of this Cardinals team, there's not people, I think, that are going to stand out if you're looking up and down the two deeps outside of perhaps him, Marvin Harrison Jr., who's an absolute stud, and perhaps a couple players on defense. But this is a team that, to your point, Lo, if you let them in this football game, the Niners are no longer a team that can just walk into a house, even get a lead, and just have the other team bow down to them. And the Cardinals have never, quite frankly, bowed down to them, because even of years when they've been bad, right, they've been able to steal a game here, right, or there. The Cardinals are a team that I feel like enjoys these kinds of contests where their backs are up against the wall, no one expects them to do much, and they come out throwing haymakers.
Right.
The Niners need to expect those haymakers at the beginning of this Week 5 football game.
Hey, guess who I got on the phone? I got Alabama on the phone. Ooh, what happened? Vanderbilt, right?
Yep.
Come on, bro. This is football. If you go out there and you walk out on the field and you act privileged, and they talk about, okay, yeah, the kid's privilege and all that stuff, and what happened, and you go play against some kids from across the street that said, I got to be great, what happens? You're going to get walked. You got to be hungry. And I'm not saying this team isn't hungry, but I'm just telling you, you look at Alabama. They went and played a Vanderbilt team. They're number one team in the country. Could have, should have crushed them. They didn't. Why? Mindset. Didn't do the right things. Attention to details. That's no different than the pros. You could have the best team, all the talent in the world. If you aren't mentally and physically ready to go out there every Sunday, you will continue to struggle. And the Niners will continue to struggle all year long until they make that conscious effort, not just lip service. It's like, no, guys, let's get it done. Let's hold each other accountable. Let's be iron sharpens iron. Let's start playing 49er football. Because if we don't, this team today, and we let them stick around, Marvin Harris Jr., like you said, he can make plays. He is an elite receiver. If you don't, if you just let those guys stick around, it can get ugly. But if you play Niner football, and you, yeah, you can make a mistake here and there, but I'm just saying, play sound. What you're capable of, this game shouldn't be close. And that's the part that frustrates me. That's the part that frustrates me. So that's why, to me, I say today is a game that we see who's 3-4 in this conference, because of the fact where you're at. This is who's number two? Who's number two? Or who's number three? Mm-hmm. Because you can't say you're one right now. You just can't say it. You can't say it, brother. You can't.
No, and Seattle's also looking at a New York Giants team that is going to be probably without their number one wide receiver. So they're looking at a favorable matchup to keep them above the 49ers, even if they take care of business today. Come outside the Hilton Santa Clara and join us on the kickoff show presented by Habas Law. Call 1-800-HABAS. If you are wrong, Habas Law will fight to make it right. Evan Giddings, Lorenzo Neal here outside Levi's Stadium. Come by, enjoy refreshments, say what's up. We're at the Hilton Santa Clara having a good time getting ready for the Niners and the Cardinals. You know, it's funny, too, because, you know, if you look at the rest of the NFC,
right,
the Niners are a team, and look, there's a lot of, I don't know, I guess, you know, pause around the Niners right now because no one really knows who they are. And it's funny, and I think the reason why there's some trepidation or some frustration with this team right now is because it feels like we should know who they are, and we have known who they are for the last 3 or 4 years, even with different quarterbacks, even with different players. We've known who they've been. They've been a team that loves to run the football. They're a team that gets physical on defense, and they're a disciplined group with a creative play caller. All four of those things still apply to this team. We just haven't seen it consistently enough yet. And so it's funny that the one part of this team, Lo, that's been banged up the most has been the offense, I think. And the side of the football that has done the best job, that has been the most stable, that has been the most balanced, has been the offensive side of the football. And that's been because of Brock Purdy, and it's been because of a guy who not many people expected to step into the limelight, and it's Jordan Mason. So while people are looking for Christian McCaffrey to come back, I certainly think he takes his offense to a different level with how he's able to maneuver in the pass-catching game. He's a three-down back, all the rest. Jordan Mason, he hasn't made us forget Christian McCaffrey, but he's done just about as good as anybody to step in for first-team All-Pro and Offensive Player of the Year.
Oh, no question. What Jordan Mason's been able to do, I think this guy's been phenomenal. I think he, what, does he have 100 yards in every game this year, darn near? I don't know if he quite got it last week. week. But if you think about Jordan Mason, what he's been doing running the ball, I think he's one of the best top leading running backs in the league. You know, as you look at those stats, let's see where he's at, you know, far as carrying the ball. Jordan Mason's physical. He gets downhill. He's 4 yards in a cloud of dust. His yards per carry's tough. You know he's going to get you the hard physical yards. You know you're not going to arm tackle him. I like this kid. Is he better than McCaffrey? No, but I'm going to tell you right now, McCaffrey can't get those 4 yards consistently like him because he's stronger. McCaffrey's way more explosive, talking about catching a pass and taking it 80. Yes, that part he hasn't. But if you're talking about downhill running, this Mason kid is one of the elite backs in the league right now. The physicality that he brings to this team running the ball, I think that you, like you said, that's not the problem for the San Francisco 49ers running the ball, and Mason has stepped up and delivered for McCaffrey.
He leads the league with 91 attempts. He is second behind Derrick Henry in terms of total yards. He's averaging about 125 scrimmage yards per game. I mean, this guy has been everything you'd wanted and more.
He's been amazing. You've read those stats? I didn't even know the stats, but I can tell with my eyes and watching the eye test what I'm saying. This guy's a bad boy, and he's physical. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Niners got a steal. And they turned this boy loose, and this guy is a man. He's a man-child, and that's what this team does. They can feed behind him, and you can ride with this guy. He's physical. He's built for this. He's young. This is the time you got to ride him. You ride this guy, and you ride him till the wheels fall off. This is how you got to play ball control. You look at this team. You look where they're at. I'm using Jordan Mason. I like what he's done. I like who he is. I like what he's done. And he's frustrated because he wants to show the league and the world that you don't hear if the Niners wasn't running the ball, especially with the turmoil they're in, everyone, you know it, he would be saying, oh, they got to get McCaffrey back. What is this team going to do? They got to hurry up and get McCaffrey back or this thing's going to get out of control. The national media is not saying that because they know they're not talking heads. They're not up there just going to say, oh, yeah, McCaffrey, no. Because they know this kid, what he's doing right now, if he stays the course that he is, he will be in the running for offensive player of the year this year. That's how well this kid's running the ball right now. That's how effective he's being right now.
Well, and I can't even call him a comeback player of the year because he's the come out of nowhere player of the year. Like no one expected this guy to do what he's doing. He didn't come back from anything. He just basically took the reins and started running with it. I mean, he's been fantastic. And so the latest on Christian McCaffrey is that he's dealing with bilateral Achilles tendonitis. The first week he's eligible to come off the IR would be next week in Seattle. But according to Adam Schefter, there's optimism that he could return for the Chiefs in week 7. The way that Mason is playing, and I understand he's not McCaffrey, but in a way, I think he makes the decision easier to prolong the McCaffrey return and make sure that he's 100% because you have not dropped off statistically at that position. And also the thing about Mason that I love watching is unlike McCaffrey, he's far more shiftier, he's obviously explosive, he's got the speed, but Jordan Mason is the player that in the fourth quarter of a football game, after you're tired, after you're banged up, after you're gassed, you don't want to hit that 225. You don't want to run into that dude and feel that player, especially after he's gotten the 15 to 20 to 25 carries that he's already bruised you with. So he is as much of a battering ram and a player that can basically just lean on you and wear you down in a way that McCaffrey, as great as he is, I'm not sure has that in his bag.
Yeah, when I played the game, the fullback position, I remember going against the guy, you know, the Ray Lewis, and I hit him the first time. Like, man, that boy's got a hard hit.
Mm-hmm.
Come back in the second time, and I go even harder. Boom. Fifth, sixth, seventh, second half, going against different linebackers. And I saw him then, and I'm hurting. Halftime, I'm taking 2 or 3 Advil, maybe even another Toradol shot. But I'm like, now, that's why I wore that big cowboy collar around the neck. And I'd come back in the second half, and I'd come in there downhill, like Waterboy, coming full. And all of a sudden, I see guys fall down. They wouldn't take it on head on, try to shed me. It was, let me get to the ground, and let me get some dirt to fall right here, and hopefully somebody else make the tackle.
Yeah.
You step in there with Jordan Mason, you might run in there like a missile, and you hit him, bow! Ooh, that was a hard hit. And he gets back up, and he comes back, you hit him there, bow! And that third time, you're like, okay, I'm going to try to take him down a little lower. And that's when he knows that he's coming in there, and that's when he sidesteps you. And that's when he picks up another 10. And like you said, he starts to wear down on you. It's that water on a rock theory, and that's what Jordan Mason is doing. He's wearing teams down, and guys then have to make a business decision. It's not that they can't do it anymore. It's the business decision that they have to make to stand in there and hit this guy and tackle this guy, and that's when they take over. And that's why this Niner team to me is disappointing. That's another reason. Because when you got a guy like that that can keep eating up clock and keep converting to third downs, and you guys are still holding the ball and you're ball controlling, you're doing the things you're doing, you're eating up the clock is in your head. You look at the time of possession and you're starting to win those battles and you're finding out you're still losing games. Something's going on with your defense. Something's happening with your special teams. So when you have a guy that is a grinder, a clock burner, and going to, you know, be efficient, and when you have that type of offense, that's that mutter offense, a la the Ravens, 4 yards, a cloud of dust, and you keep the ball away from and do those type of things, you should be winning football games. And that's what's sad, because Jordan Mason, where he's at running the ball and how they're running the ball and how effective they are, I don't know. You should be better.
Well, and in relation to the Cardinals, this is a team that, like the Niners, has really struggled to stop the run. Last week against Washington, Brian Robinson, who's a beast of a running back.
He's a big boy, too.
Austin Eckler went down with an injury, but they ran for over 200 yards on the Cardinals. The week before, the two-headed monster of Gibbs, along with Montgomery, and that forceful offensive line, ran for a 185 against the Arizona Cardinals. This is a team that can be had on the ground. And so I think while everyone is expecting, you know, maybe a Brandon Ayuk, who we haven't talked about much, to emerge, or maybe Juwan Jennings to get busy in the passing game, and Brock Purdy to light up the scoreboard. This is a football team that you can run against, and then again, you can lean on if Jordan Mason is given the requisite amount of carries. And the Niners are a football team that starts with a run anyway. Yeah. That's what they build everything off of. And so I would be shocked today if Jordan Mason once again does not break the century mark, because this is a team and a run defense that is built for him to destroy.
Well, and my question is, what have we seen? Why do these other guys that you're talking about, if you're running the ball like you are, and you're being as effective as you are with Jordan Mason running the ball, why do you need those guys to have huge games for 200 yards or 150? Why do you need, if you leave this game, if Brock Purdy throws for 250 yards and they have 150 yards rushing, These are the games that we usually win.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, E, that you know, Evan, that baffles me, and I have the fans. Brock Purdy, if someone told you today Brock Purdy was not going to turn the ball over, he threw for 220 yards, and the Niners had 150 yards rushing, you would say they win that football game.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing about this, and that's why you like, this is the way that they used to talk, and you said it earlier. You said, this team is built for the run. It starts off with running the ball, and that's how effective, that's how they built to win games. And they're doing it. But they're not getting the results because it's attention to details, and they got to get better on the other phases as well.
Well, and on the other side, I do want to get into, as we move into our final hour of the kickoff show, brought to you by Habas Law, right outside Levi's Stadium at the Hilton Santa Clara. Come by and grab a refreshment, say what's up before you head on in to watch the Cardinals and the 49ers. I do want to get into the two most stabilizing players on this football team next, because we talked about the lack of attention to detail, maybe the coaching that needs to set up. Instead of the finger pointing, I do want to get into the praise part of this program, because there are two players in my mind, Lo, that have stabilized this football team in a way that I didn't and have expected them to, but I don't know if they knew that they needed to be as big as they've played so far. We'll get into that on the other side of the kickoff show with Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings live from the Hilton Santa Clara up next on 95.7 The Game.